8 o'clock. We had a change of schedule this morning. We got Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the telephone with me right now. Mr. Mayor, hello. Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I couldn't be better. Couldn't be better indeed. I don't know if you're going to be in town tomorrow. The Rangers going for the series.
Let's just hope that they win the seventh game. It's great they've done well, and I think it'd be fun to have a Rangers Devils series, given the Devils are moving to Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be great.
Not the Devils, the Nets are moving to Brooklyn. My hope is someday that maybe the Devils move to Brooklyn as well. Wouldn't
yeah, I think the devil. I think the Devils would definitely like to move someplace other than they are, but that's a story for another time. I have to ask you about the story that you were talking about yesterday, the truancy here in New York City. Joe Bartlett just read that 20% are out of school a month or more of a year. That's over 200,000 kids.
The numbers are big, but yes, that is true, and it's very hard to learn if you're not in school.
I know you've got a campaign going, but is this reflective of parents that just don't care, or what does Walcott tell you?
Families in this day and age are very complex. We have a lot of kids who unfortunately don't have parents at home when they leave in the morning or get home in the afternoon. It's harder to supervise kids if you know, a lot of families now, two breadwinners instead of the old traditional one. And then maybe, some people don't care. Some people don't understand the value of education. But regardless of the reason, we've just got to find some ways to get the kids to come to school. If you miss 2 days a month, doesn't sound like much, but there's only 20, 22 days of school every month. Given there's, 4 weekends, there's 10 out of your 30 days gone. And you can't learn if you have 10 weeks a year, just think about 10 months a year in school, and you miss 2 days each month, you're missing a month's worth of schooling.
Does the city lose money, compensation, on kids that aren't there?
No. Now, the city loses money when the kids can't get jobs because they didn't get an education.
No, I understand, but I was curious whether the state or the feds give money based on attendance.
There may well be some, but it's de minimis. That's not our big problem. Our big problem is making sure the kids get an education, and we can always worry about the money separately, but it's not a big deal.
All right, got to ask you about the bike program, which is the city bike program, which is going to be started this year. I have a couple of questions. Is there any proof that you know how to ride a bike necessary?
No, but I think the test will be in the first 30 feet when you get on it.
Yeah, but what happens? Well, okay, that goes to my next question. What about liability?
I think that's all taken care of in the agreements you sign. When you sign up, you agree that you will be liable, and you aren't going to, if you take risks, it's that you're responsible.
I know that your transportation department has done the statistics on this, I'm sure, because I've seen this in Paris, and I've seen it in London as well. And it's
Boston, Chicago. I mean, this is not a new thing. There's awful lot of experience, and all of these questions you have been worked out.
Okay, all right. Well, and do we know when? I know that sometime in what, June, these things are going to start?
Yeah, but it's a long rollout over many, many months. And I think what you have to understand about the bike program is it's not for recreation. If you want to rent a bike and go into the park and spend 3 or 4 hours, you go to plenty of bicycle stores that will rent your bikes and makes it economical. This is a transportation alternative, and that's the way it's used in most cities, and our pricing reflects what's done elsewhere. It is less expensive than other kinds of transportation and may very well be a lot faster and certainly more enjoyable. And so you rent a bike, go to work, leave the bike where you get to work, pick up a bike when you come out of work, leave it when you get home.
And will these bike park areas be on city property, private property, or how does that work?
We're working it out. We consult with the communities and the community boards, and where they think it's appropriate. We're not taking space away from anybody. We're not taking parking places, that sort of stuff. I think the program starts in July and stretches into 13 to roll it out. But as people get used to it and it becomes popular, there's going to be a lot of pressure to expand it, and that's great.
All right, we'll have to watch this one unfold. Yesterday, Mr. Mayor, I had a very spirited conversation with the public advocate, Bill de Blasio, over the stop and frisk that he and some others are trying to make something of. And, of course, the number, the 685,000 stop and frisks, is certainly in the headline of the conversation. With you and the police commissioner, when you talk about this, and certainly you have made a case, as I did yesterday, for the correlation between the numbers of stops and the reduction in murder and crime, it's dramatic, obviously. Is there any truth, do you think, that if you raise the number even higher, the crime would be lower? Or is there an equation that somehow balances it?
Well, this is, you know, not a physical science where you can try and experiment in one place and compare it to someplace else. What we do know is that the number of guns that we've been finding has continued to go down, which says the program at this scale is doing a great job.
Both from the frisk point of view as well as the warning point of view,
well,
I guess.
The whole idea here, John, is not to catch people with guns. It's to prevent people from carrying guns. It's like a stop we have for driving while intoxicated. It would be great if everybody said, oh, my goodness, I might get stopped, so I'm not going to drink and drive. That's great. That's what we want. That would be wonderful. And the fact that we're getting fewer guns says the program is working, and the program will really have succeeded when we don't get any guns.
I also had a conversation, spirited as well, with Michael Mulgrew from the UFT over the lawsuit trying to stop the closing of the 24 schools. You have not stopped that process yet, have you? Or has the injunction done that?
We've been sued, and if we think we will prevail in court, the case goes before the judge pretty quickly. But the bottom line here, John, is we have 24 schools which were identified by the state. Actually, there were some more schools in the 30-something or other, but some of them have improved since the state's numbers. The numbers they used were taken, and we don't want to close schools that are improving, but these 24 identified by the Board of Regents have not improved dramatically, certainly not enough, and we have an obligation to kids today to get them a good education, the best education we possibly can, and if you wait a year or 2 years, some of these kids, you'll never catch up to them with them again, and they're just the rest of their lives, they are going to have suffered from this. I understand the union is trying to take care of its members, but the union's job is not to improve the schools. The union's job is to represent their members and get them the best working conditions and pay they can get. And running the schools is up to the chancellor and the mayor and the management of the schools and the teacher in front of the class. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure we get the best teachers in front of the class, and I think there's an awful lot of evidence that what we've been doing so far has really worked. And I saw U.S. News and World Report on their annual survey of best high schools in the country. Once again, New York just came out as stars, and some of the schools were these new schools.
There was a story this week, and this has been sort of a thorn in your side, again, the FDNY testing question and the judge Garifas, getting involved in this. But the statistics that were released this week, where 42,000 people took the FDNY test, 20,000, close to half, were minorities. My question was, when I read it, what's the issue here?
I didn't think there was an issue before. Nick Scapetta worked for 8 years, and Sal Cassano's worked for the past three, to make sure that everybody knew that this is a great career, and it's open to everyone, and come and take the test. And if you score well enough, you're going to get an opportunity to have a great job for the rest of your life and really make a difference in saving lives. And, that's the issue here, just to get more people to take the test. And then you want the smartest people you can get to come through that door when there's a fire. And I don't agree with the judge, and we've certainly worked hard to make it as diverse as we can. There's, I don't think, no evidence of any intentional discrimination. And the more people that are listening today, if you want, now the test is over for a number of years, but if you ever want to work and have a great career, the FDNY is one of the places you should seriously consider.
You also are out touting the fact, as you have talked many times here on Fridays with me and with us, about the movie business, the television business, the production that goes on here, big time and very successful.
Enormous contributed to our economy, and it's, you know, it's when you look at the budget for a movie or a sitcom, most of the money does not go to the stars. It goes to carpenters and grips and delivery people and cab people, and this is one of the ways we've been diversifying our economy. The film and television industry today generates something like $7 billion, employs 130,000 people. And it is one of the reasons that just in the media sector alone, we've gained 40,000 people, and the media sector for the whole of America has lost 40,000 over the last decade. So, you know, people are moving this industry here to New York, and it's one of the, it just goes to show if you really try to make a business-friendly city, and if you focus, as Kathy Oliver and the Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Television does, on helping them to do their business here, you can bring an awful lot of jobs and a tax base.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I know you're on the move here, and I'll let you go, but thank you very much for the couple of minutes here. We'll check in next week.
Sorry for the change on schedule, but, you know, it's a busy time.
Yep, you got to do what you got to do.
I'll see you next week.
Thank you very much. Michael Bloomberg this morning here on the John Gambling Show. Let's see here, right? Just about 8 minutes before...